Would you bow with me now as we begin? Father in heaven, we come before thy throne, praising your name, giving you thanks and glory and honor, and also seeking blessing from thee, that you will be with us as we study thy word together. Bless us that we might understand and make proper application of the truths found within thy holy word at this time. We ask thy blessing, Father, upon those that are ill and not able to be with us this day. And Father, forgive us all of our sins. It's in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. I'd like to begin by asking you a question. Have you offered a sacrifice recently unto God? What sacrifice have you offered unto him? Or what was the last sacrifice you offered unto God? Well, you know, might get some strange looks in regards to that, because a lot of people would begin to think, well, sacrifices, if you think of animal sacrifices and so forth, well, that was a part of Old Testament worship and service to God. And not really any specified sacrifice today. That might be the thinking of some. But I suggest to you that even today there are sacrifices that we are to make. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read verse number 5. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5. For those of you who were here last Wednesday night, we talked a bit about this, and I told you at that time that I'm probably going to preach on the subject this morning, so you already clued in there with us this morning. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5 says, "You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, what's this passage talking about? Who is this that he's saying here that you're built up a living house? That's talking about the church, isn't it? Talking about you and I, that as living stones are built up a spiritual house. The church is not a physical building, but it's a living organism, you might think of it that way. And each one of us are living stones in this living house, spiritual house. What is the work of this church here? What's the work of this spiritual building of God? He says the purpose is to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If our work is to offer sacrifices, what sacrifice have you offered to God recently? Church can't do anything unless each individual Christian does it, right? We as individuals do it. We can do things collectively sometime, but each one of us participate in it. What have you offered unto God? We've not always thought of ourselves as offering sacrifices like the children of Israel did in Old Testament time. But this passage makes it plain that this is the work of the church, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Is there something God wants me to offer? Is there something that he wants each one of us to offer? I believe the scriptures point out that there are things that God wants us to offer as a sacrifice unto him. We've just studied and completed the book of Hebrews, and here's where we got the idea here for this type of a study. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 15 for the first passage here that speaks about an example of what we should offer as a sacrifice unto God. Hebrews 13, verse number 15 says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." One thing that we are then to offer as a sacrifice to God, he says, is the fruit of our lips, giving praise to his name, giving thanks to his name. We talked about this in our adult class, what would the fruit of our lips be? It has to be words, doesn't it? That which we speak in prayer, in singing of songs, the fruit of our lips. These words can be sacrifices unto God. How about the teaching of His Word? Are we not making an offering unto God, doing something to His praise and glory and honor? The fruit of our lips. Whenever we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, whether it's in the assembly of this building, or whether it's on an individual basis in our homes, we're making an offering unto God. I remember when I was a young man that it was a quite common practice for the person leading in prayer to, and many times many of the men in the congregation, to go down on their knees in prayer to God. Certainly it's appropriate to do that, to show that one is bowing before God, making an offering unto God. We're in His presence whenever that prayer is said. Whenever we sing, we need to remember that we're making an offering unto the Lord. He's not concerned about how beautiful we can sing. I only could sort of croak like a horny toad this morning with all this I've got in my throat. But He doesn't care. That's not it. It's that it comes forth from the heart as praise unto Him. Did you notice that the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips. We're praising God, offering thanks and glory and honor unto Him. I try each time that I go to Him in prayer to open my prayer with praise and thanksgiving. I don't know whether you've noticed, sometimes maybe in opening of my prayers, I may say, Father, we come before Thy throne, or we come offering unto Thee, or we come bearing this unto Thee. We must come before God bearing Him praise and thanksgiving, glory and honor. Praise unto His name. He is worthy. And so that's sacrificing unto God. So as we worship together, when you start putting these things together, prayer and singing and teaching and so forth, it's like bringing a spiritual sacrifice of praise unto God. Our assemblies together need to be an occasion where that we keep that in mind. You see, now this requires the mind to be engaged. You have to think about these things. They have to come forth from the heart, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse number 19, where he says that we should speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making the melody in the heart. That word literally means plucking the strings of your heart. It tells the instrument upon which we are to play as we worship God, our heart. Plucking the strings. We're to have the heart, the mind engaged, so that we think about why we want to offer praise and glory and honor. Think of what He has done for us. Think of the salvation that we have through Him, of the hope that we have through Him as we pray. That requires looking at the words of the songs and singing those praise unto Him. Sometimes it might be reading from the book of Psalms. You know, in the book of Psalms there are so many wonderful psalms that are psalms of praise to Him. Like, for example, Psalms 148, and the this Psalms 148 is the basis for one of the songs that we sing. It's written in our book. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host of hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heaven of heavens and ye waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded and they were created. But it's songs of praise. I'd like to suggest that each day that we live, what do you notice the terminology there in Hebrews 13, 15? Let us offer unto God. How often does it say there? Each Sunday morning? Is that what it said? Or Sunday night or Wednesday night? Is that what it said? Continually. Each day we need to offer God continually praise. Each day that we live, as we go through the day, as things happen to us, as we think and go about our work, when our mind needs to be engaged, that it's attuned to the praising of God all day long. Worship and praise to Him is an offering, a sacrifice made unto Him. How do we think about it? I'm afraid many people take it very lightly. Whenever we are worshiping God in prayer, song, whatever it might be, I've seen children or young people write notes or whisper, or sometimes they haven't been so young that they've engaged in such things, you know. We can hardly make an offering unto God if we take what we're doing so lightly. And sometimes people have even been known to be put to sleep by praising God, you know? Offering a praise unto God. I'm not being critical of anyone or anything when I do that. And I know some people have problems, you know, on medication and so forth. But we need to have our minds engaged. It's a time whenever we cannot really offer that gift acceptably if our hearts and minds are not in it. Some take it lightly and maybe even do not consider the seriousness of even being there, to think of nothing about being away from worship on Sunday morning or Sunday night or any time that the church might assemble together. And then notice it says the fruit of our lips. It's not canned praise. Can I say it that way? It's not mechanically produced. It comes forth from our lips. Not from an instrument. It can't just be some ritual that we go through. I heard about one lady that always wanted to have prayer before she would go to bed and go to sleep at night. And she'd wait till she got in bed to lay down and start to pray, but she's so tired at the end of the day, she'd always fall asleep and never finish her prayer. So she decided what she'd do. She'd write it out. And she wrote out a prayer and she pinned it on her pillow. And so whenever she had hit the bed at night, you know, and she'd start a prayer and she was going to sleep, and she'd just say, "Lord, those are my sentiments," and off she'd go to sleep. It can't be canned. It has to come forth from the heart for it to be offered unto God, acceptable unto Him. God desires that we honor and glorify Him by praise and thanksgiving, offering the fruit of our lips, prayer, worship, singing. But then let's look at another scripture, which I believe speaks of, right? You won't have to open your Bibles to another place. Hebrews 13, verse number 17, the very next verse. Or verse number 16, I'm sorry. It says, "But do not forget to do good and to communicate," the King James says, or to share, the New American, or New King James says. "Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." The doing of good, helping of somebody, work in their garden or their lawn work, or help them do the dishes, take in some food to the needy or to the bereaved, helping of people, doing good, sharing finances or home or whatever it might have, communicating, this is what the idea here is, to communicate to the needs of others. This can be thought of as an offering unto God. Over in Matthew chapter 25, in the picture that Jesus gives us of the judgment scene, He says to certain ones of them there, "Come and enter the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and in prison. You visited me. I was naked and you clothed me." And they asked, "Lord, when did we see you like this?" You remember what the Lord said? "Inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, He did it unto me." So when we do something for somebody else, we take care of their needs, or we help them in some way or another, it's as if we're doing it unto God. We can think of it as an offering unto God, an opportunity. To do good for somebody else is an opportunity to offer a sacrifice unto God. What a wonderful sacrifice and opportunity that it is. That given to others, or done to help others, is a sacrifice. The way we show love to others is a sacrifice unto God. We need to show love unto others as God showed love unto us. and thus it's sacrificing. Well, let's look at another passage. Look at Philippians chapter 4. We'll leave the book of Hebrews now and go to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Verses 14 through 18, let us read. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about how the Philippians have helped him in giving to him that the work of the Lord might be carried out, that he might be preaching. He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." Philippians 4, verse 14. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Now notice how he thinks of this gift given to him. "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which was sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." So Paul thought of that gift sent to him as a sweet-smelling aroma. Not only got throat problems, I got lip problems this morning too. The scene is as if when that gift was sent to the Apostle Paul, it was like a sweet smell that went up before God. Have you ever entered into somebody's house? I just here the other day, I can't remember whose house it was in. I was trying to think earlier. I entered into someone's house, and I don't know whether they had just sprayed room deodorant or somebody put on their cologne fresh or what, but it smelled so good in that house. You know, you just want to breathe deep and smell it. It's just so good. You know, you can't get enough of it. Well, this work that they had done in helping Paul to preach the gospel and to share in him was like this smell that came up before God, this aroma, well-pleasing unto God. So again, we see here that in the sense whenever we help to preach the gospel, when we give that the Lord's work might be carried on, when that collection plate is passed among us, and we give of that which the Lord has given unto us, we're offering unto God a sacrifice acceptable, comes up before as a sweet smell before him. This was used in doing the work of the Lord, whether it's preaching the gospel here, providing of our necessities that we might assemble together, preaching the gospel in other places, like we help Brother J. Farber and Mary, who are with us today, the Chris Myers work that we spoke of earlier. We shouldn't think necessarily of this going to help some individual, but it's an offering made unto God. And God is well pleased. Because that's why did his son come to this earth? Why did Jesus come? It was to seek and save the lost, wasn't it? And when God sees us engaged in that same type of work, when our work is reaching out to those that are lost, we're doing the work that God wants done, the work that his son died to accomplish. And we can have a part in that as we make an offering. Well, there's one more passage I'd like for us to look at. Whenever I spoke about, or I asked the question about making offering a sacrifice unto God, I wonder if anybody thought about this passage in Romans chapter 12. Anybody think about that passage? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Sam shaking his head down here. Yes, I guess he thought about it there. "I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Passage that every Christian ought to have committed to memory. Well, let's notice, he calls upon us here to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Up to this point, we've been talking about the fruit of our lips, singing, prayer, teaching, offering. But the sacrifice that we are to make to God goes beyond those things. What does it mean when he say we should present our bodies a living sacrifice? Isn't he talking about our life? Isn't he talking about a complete sacrifice? The sacrifice of everything that we have, everything that we are, our life given in service to him, our energy, our intellect, our moral and physical powers, our talents, all presented in one continuous life, living life in service to him. So it's not just that a time whenever we come together to worship or when we're in prayer and singing or teaching or offering gifts and the contribution that we offer gifts and sacrifice unto God, but our very life is to be presented to God as a living sacrifice. Notice these things about it. First, he says, he beseeches them. He pleads with them by the mercies of God that they present themselves. It's a voluntary sacrifice. He beseeches and pleads with them based upon the mercies of God. In the first 11 chapters, he's pointed out how that they are saved by the grace of God. That it can't be earned through the keeping of the law. But that salvation is based upon the mercy of God. And so then he pleads with them because of God's mercy. Because he's loved us so much. Because he gave his son to die for us when we were helpless, going back to the fifth chapter. And without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. This is by God's great mercy, then we should present our bodies, voluntarily present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. This action denoted here is the action of the bringing and presenting of a, like an animal sacrifice to the altar in Old Testament time. Because of God's great mercy for us, it should behoove us then to come bringing our lives, surrender to his will, offering our all in service to him out of recognition and honor because of what he has done for us. That is not something that's forced upon us. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I don't attend church on Sunday night or Wednesday night because I don't see any commandment about that. That's right. There's not a commandment about that. Really, it just specifies the first day of the week. It doesn't specify whether that's to be morning or evening. I guess some people could read that it was all day long. But see, God doesn't force any of us to do anything. Whatever we do, we need to do out of love for him because of the great mercy that he's shown to us. It's voluntary. As we volunteer, and can we volunteer enough? Can we make enough of a sacrifice for all that he's done for us? Or can we come to a certain point and say, well, that's mine, you know, I'm going to give this much and the rest of it's I'm going to keep for me? You know, just going to put so much in collection plate and keep the rest of it for me? What about this I keep for me? Doesn't it belong to God too? Am I not accountable for how it's used? I turn Sunday morning over to the Lord. So that's the Lord's. That's all. Sunday night, Wednesday night. Any other time the church is going to meet, that's for me. Isn't all my time the Lord's? Aren't I not going to be accountable for all the time? Should I not sacrifice and offer unto God all that I possibly can? Well, let's look at another thing he says about this sacrifice. He calls it a living sacrifice. Our life given in service to him. Our all. Hebrews 9 and verse number 14 speaks about the fact that we have been purged from dead works to serve the living God. We've been cleansed from dead works, the things that resulted in our death. Dead works that did not accomplish anything, did not save us. We've been cleansed from those things, from sin and selfishness and lust, in order to serve the living God. Our life must be given to him. Titus 2, verse number 14, speaks of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, that's buy us back, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. He sacrificed his life so that we might voluntarily become his, turn our lives over to him. He purchased us for that purpose, that we might be zealous of good works. We might do the work of the Lord here, offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God. But then let's notice also, he speaks about this sacrifice here in Hebrews 12, that it's to be holy and pure, without blemish. In Old Testament time, that was the phrase that was used to denote the type of animal that would be acceptable unto God. You know, if someone was to offer a sacrifice in Old Testament time, he might go out there and look over his flock and say, well, he got this one old gal here that's getting old. She's probably not going to bear any more calves. I'll offer her unto the Lord. No. It was to be without blemish. It couldn't be one that had been crippled or hurt or that was sick or getting too old. Like some of the most stern denunciation of behavior of God's people comes concerning this very fact. Notice in Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, Malachi the first chapter, beginning verse number 6, God speaking to his people, he says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. He says, that's just as natural. That's the way it works. Son honors the father, servant honors his master. If I am the father, where is my honor? How are you honoring me? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Why aren't you giving me the reverence? You know, if I'm your master, if I'm your Lord, says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? The priests are asking, why? How have we despised you? How have we not given you honor and reverence? Here comes the answer, verse 7. You offered defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. They considered that offering to give to the Lord is something contemptible. How did they show it was contemptible? And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Now this is the way he showed contempt to the Lord. They give the culls of their flock, the blind, the lame, give them to the Lord. And then he says, go out and offer that to your governor. Will he accept it? Now he says, you try offering the kind of offerings you give unto me to anybody else, any man in the position above you, and he's not going to accept it. What about our offerings? Should we not offer unto the Lord the best that we have? The best of our years, the best of our energies, the first of our income. Or will he accept that which we find left over after we've paid all the bills? Will he accept that? After we've lived our lives or used all the day long and then finally at the end of the day we've done everything we want to do, will he accept a few minutes then that we can wedge in between doing all the things we want to do for ourselves? Is that not to offer sacrifices that are blemished? We need to present to him the best of our lives, our talents, our energies. What type of sacrifice are you offering to God? He takes my life. What type of a sacrifice is it? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. Verses 9 through 11, actually. Apostle talks to the Corinthians about some of these people who were had been in times past engaged in grievous sins. I gave this lesson out at the prison on Wednesday night, or Thursday night. And I mentioned how that, you know, some of the people that were there had committed some of these crimes that are mentioned here. That doesn't make them any worse than us on the outside, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It doesn't matter what a person might have been in the time past, he can still offer a complete, perfect, whole sacrifice unto God by being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Turning that life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, making a change that would make that life acceptable unto God. In fact, in our text here in Romans chapter 12, he says it should be acceptable unto God. That's a sacrifice acceptable to God. Not to me. Not to the elders of the church or to some other individual or what the brotherhood thinks is an acceptable offering to God. We want to make sure this offering is acceptable unto God. Pleasing to Him. And then he says it's your spiritual service. It belongs to the mind. It's of the reason. It's not just a ritual. We talked about that. But then in verse 2 he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. I like to think of this as it's to be a sacrifice that is transformed. A transformed life is what will be acceptable unto God. That's the sacrifice he wants. Not to be conformed to the likeness of this world. We are citizens of heaven, and we need to adopt the ways of heaven in our living right now. We need to speak with the accent of God's people, the accent of heaven. You know, we identify people from where they come from the accent, you know. People about us ought to be able to identify where we belong because we speak the language of heaven. What type of a sacrifice are you offering? We all are offering a sacrifice, or we're neglecting to do so, or we're offering it in reverence. A teacher was trying to teach her Sunday school class one morning about giving and offerings unto the Lord. And she baked some cookies that were all animal shaped, and give each one of the children a packet of cookies. I think there was about 5 in each packet. And she was teaching them about Old Testament sacrifices and how they offered their animals Old Testament time. And then to let them sort of get an idea of what was going on, she said, now we're going to offer a sacrifice and give unto the Lord. And you need to decide, you know, some of your cookies, or 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, how many you want to give unto the Lord. And so the children were saying, oh, they'd give 1 or they'd give 2, you know. Well, it was one little fellow, I don't know, maybe he was related to the Cookie Monster or something, but he had 5 cookies like everybody else. And the teacher said to him, says, how many are you going to give? He says, I'm going to give 2. She said, boy, that's good. You give 2 of your cookies unto the Lord, you know, about, that's 40%, you know. And he's going to give 2 of them. And he had them laid out on the desk in front of him. There was 5 of them. There was 3 of them there that were completely whole, and there was 2 cracked and broken up. And he started pushing those 2 cracked and broken ones up over to give. The Lord doesn't accept that type of sacrifice, does he? The Lord wants us to sacrifice and offer to him first. What type of sacrifice is your life unto the Lord? Are you well pleased with the sacrifice you are making? That's not the right question to ask. Did you know that? The right question to ask is the Lord pleased with the sacrifice that I'm offering unto him? If your sacrifice is not acceptable, and you know you need to make some changes in your life and make an acceptable sacrifice unto him, listen to the words of the song we're going to sing, Is Thy Heart Right with God? You know, God knows. God knows it all. God knows whether you're living the life that's pleasing unto him. God knows whether you offer the sacrifices unto him as you should. He knows. It's not me or anybody else that we need to seek to please. It's God. Is your offering acceptable? If you're not, and you're subject to the invitation, will you not come while we stand down, while we sing?
As thine affection's been nailed to the cross, is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Thank you, Mark, for an excellent lesson. Instead of a number that's on the board, let's close with number 111. Take my life and let it be. I think that goes along with the lesson real well. Following the song, David will dismiss us. Tonight, Jay's with us this morning. He's no stranger to most of us. And tonight he will be speaking to us somewhat, I suppose, on the work that's going on in Creed, but also bring us a lesson as well. So look forward to that. Encourage you all to come back and hear him this evening. First and last stanzas, and we'll be dismissed.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. Lord, I give my life to thee.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy great and glorious name. We come before thee now, praising your name and thanking you for this day that we have to come together and praise your name. We pray, Lord, that our worship has been pleasing in thy sight. Be with us now as we go to our separate appointed homes. Bring us back the next appointed hour. Thank you, Lord, for helping Mark with his lesson and helping him to deliver it. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Forgive us of our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.